Tribute. Unscripted with Niamh O'Connor. A Go Loud original podcast.
Hi guys, my name's Niamh O'Connor and this is my podcast Unscripted, a Go Loud original. You might have seen me on social media, but if you haven't seen me on social media, don't worry. There's loads of time to get to know me on this podcast. I spill all of my secrets. I tell you all of my traumas. I cry regularly. I laugh regularly. It's a roller coaster of emotions. Every week, guys, I pick a topic. I talk about it. I try stick to the topic. A lot of the time I don't. And I answer your dilemmas. If you're a new listener, welcome and strap yourself in. Come along with me for the ride. And if you're a regular listener, welcome back. Thank you for listening every week. Hello, guys, and welcome back to episode 26 of Unscripted. You know, literally just before I was speaking there, I was like, what did I do this week? But I'm going to Krakow. So it's Monday today and we recorded the last episode that we done on Friday. So I feel like we didn't really do much. I'm sick. Actually, what am I on about? I didn't do much. My little cousin, sweetheart, Emily, I love you. And we're going to have my cousin and my auntie on the podcast soon, hopefully. But my cousin actually got me and my auntie a trip away for Christmas, and we went to Kildare Village and she got us this stay. It was in Lawlers in Nace, girls. I swear down, one of the nicest hotels I've ever stayed in. It was so nice. She got us like dinner, bed and breakfast. So we went shopping there on Saturday in Kildare Village. And was it Saturday? Yeah, it was Saturday. We went shopping on Saturday in Kildare Village. Then we went and stayed in this hotel. We had a lovely dinner. It was such a nice night away. Sometimes I find it quite hard living so far from my family. And I know people will say you don't live far from your family. You live in Dublin and your family live in Louth. But when you don't drive, that is far. I need to drive this year, girls. But that is far when you don't drive. So I really love getting to spend that time with them. It's lovely. And we had such a lovely, lovely, lovely time. But I came home yesterday and I felt so tired. And I literally went for a nap, woke up, sinus infection. I actually don't know if it is a sinus infection because it kind of is gone now. But yesterday, I can still feel it in my head, but my eyes aren't weeping. I woke up this morning with the most swollen face. Me and Alex went for a carver yesterday, and I'd say everybody thought that something was going on because my eyes were weeping. It looked like I was screaming, crying. But yeah, that has been my few days between the last episode that we recorded and today. I'm off to Krakow. I'm a family gal at the moment, girls. I got my dad a trip to Krakow for his 50th. It's me, my dad and my two brothers, and I got it for all of us for my dad's 50th birthday. So we actually go tomorrow. I'm really excited to go there. People rave. Have you ever been, Lauren?
To Krakow? No.
No.
I'm dying to go though. Like a few friends have gone recently and they have nothing but good things to say. So
yeah,
it's on the list.
Yeah, people rave. Do you know what? I should probably run into Penny's and grab some thermals after this episode. Let me check the weather right now in Krakow, girls. Sorry, off topic. But yeah, people rave. Obviously, I don't mean rave because there's a lot of very sad stuff in Krakow. But apparently, it's a beautiful city. The food is amazing, full of history. And you know me, girls, I am a history nerd. I love history. So yeah, I'm off. I'll have a bit more of an update and a bit more exciting things to tell you on the next episode because I'm off there. But segueing into today's episode. So I have been absolutely glued to this girl's social media because she was on First Dates. So I thought, what? There was no better time to have her on and open up about the episode and how everything went. And also, I love watching her videos because she's neurodivergent and so am I. So I feel like I relate to her an awful lot and I feel like a lot of you guys will love her and relate to her. So today we have the absolutely gorgeous Mollerina in the studio. Molly, do you want to introduce yourself? Maybe give your social handles.
Hi everyone, my name is Molly. I go by Mollerina online, the Mollerina.
The Mollerina, yes.
No, that's a joke. But it is actually Mollerina, at Mollerina _.
You're Mollerina on everything, aren't you?
On absolutely everything.
Oh, you're so lucky.
Yeah.
I was saying to Molly that Mollerina is like, I think that's one of the best social media names I've ever heard. It's so catchy and it's real like cute and pretty. Yeah. I love it. When did you actually start social media?
I started in 2016.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
So you were on social media for the 2016 Makeup Era.
Yeah. Oh, girl, and there's proof. I have digital footprint.
You need to post them videos because I'm seeing so many videos going viral on TikTok being like actual footage of me doing my makeup for school in 2016.
Do you think I should?
Yeah, for sure.
My eyebrows were like birds. They were like, and bear in mind, I worked in Supermax when I started. So I was going into Supermax with like a glitter cut crease and like a big Inglot pomade brows on my face every single day.
I swear we lived by that Inglot pomade. Like that was the shit. You need to upload them videos because they're going viral. Like people uploading actual footage of me doing my makeup in 2016.
Oh my God.
I wish I had actual footage, guys. Mine was not good at all. So bad. So you do kind of do social media full time anyway.
I do because my full-time job is in social media as well.
Oh,
so
unreal.
So I actually can't get away from my phone.
Oh, unreal. But that's so cool that you start in social media, you know, a couple of years ago, probably for fun, opened up the door of being able do that.
I was studying, I have a degree in anthropology.
No way. What is anthropology? I'm like, what is that?
It's like, okay, so you know how like sociology is the study of culture?
Yeah.
And no, sorry, I got that wrong. Sociology is the study of society.
Yes.
And then anthropology is basically kind of like sociology, but it's more along the lines of the study of culture.
Ooh.
So it's just like people.
Oh,
and now I just psychoanalyze everything out of everyone and everything every day of my life.
That's why we had a psychologist and she specialized in autism and ADHD and neurodivergency. But I was saying to her, I could never do that because I would just walk around being like diagnosing everybody I seen with everything.
That's what I do. Yeah. That's literally my, and I think because I didn't know that I had ADHD when I went to do that.
Yeah.
And I think part of me was like, this is going to help me understand why I am the way that I am more.
Yeah.
And it definitely has. But yeah, when I was doing that, it gave me such a good like understanding of people. And then when I started doing media, I think that really helped. And now because I work in social media marketing and things like that, I have such like an undercurrent
of knowledge,
I suppose, as to like the reason why people react the way they do things online and
that probably
consume certain media and
That probably helps a lot as well with like hate online because you have a better understanding of like why those people are acting that way. Did you ever do a course in like editing or anything?
So I have a master's in digital media then,
okay,
which I went on to do. But I had taught myself already how to use like a few different softwares.
Yeah.
I think I was at like Final Cut Pro and then we started doing Premiere Pro
when
I was doing that like master's.
Mm-hmm.
So I did get a bit of training, but I was already kind of self-taught at that stage.
Yeah, because your editing is amazing. Like my manager, when I was, so I kind of started doing like, you know, I did OnlyFans and then I kind of only started doing social media properly like last year.
Mm.
And my manager would be like, look at Malarina's videos, Niamh. This is what you need to aim for with my editing. You're so creative. You're so good at editing. Like, I feel like that really sets your videos apart. I love watching your videos because the editing is like incredible. It's like not normal. Like just, you know, social media editing. You're so creative. I love the ones you do where you're like, you know, where you're tapping something and then it goes on you.
I need to those more, but they just take so long to do. Oh my God, they take an age.
I have no patience with editing. I'm like 5 minutes. I'm like cut. I can't. I go
get,
back.
Like, sucked into it.
So you used to, I know before the podcast started, I did not know this, but you had a podcast yourself.
Yeah.
What was it about? What did you?
Just me.
Just you.
Just me.
Was it you on your own?
It was me on my own. And I think that's why I didn't really continue it, because the thing was, is that I'm so fine talking to a camera.
Yeah.
I was so fine doing the YouTube videos. And then when it's just you and a mic in the room, something about that felt so intimate.
Yes.
And I was overthinking every single thing I said, how I was saying it. I just felt like even though nobody could see me, it felt more intimate, and I was overthinking absolutely everything.
Yeah.
And I just, in the end, I talked myself out of it, and I was just thought, I'm not like good enough, or I think I like listening when there's a conversation.
Yes.
And I like to bounce off, and like if you're a yapper, I feel like you need someone to yap with. Like,
yes.
I'll yap my own thoughts on my own. But it was just,
yeah,
it was getting to, you know, but
yeah,
I talked about like motivation and like self-confidence and all that, and I was like, I don't know how, I must have been like 21, 22.
Yeah.
And I thought I knew everything. I'm 27 now. Yeah. I thought I knew absolutely everything back then.
Yeah.
Like genuinely.
Yeah. I feel like when you have a podcast on your own, it can be very difficult. And did you edit your own podcast?
Yeah.
Yeah. See, that's
listening
where.
Listening to yourself over and over again.
Yeah. Thank God for Lauren, because if I had to edit this, I think I probably would feel the same, because I'm like that. I'm an overthinker. But thank God I come in here and then Lauren edits it. So I don't have to hear it again. And I feel like that's why, yeah, that must have been that. I feel like it would take up a lot of time as well.
It did, yeah. Because I was like, should I just make some points and like, and just yap away? Should I like script this out? Like,
yeah.
What if I can't like get the words that I want to say and all
yeah,
that? And
yeah,
I just,
yeah.
I find it. Whereas when you're talking to someone, having conversation with someone, they kind of flow out.
Yeah.
But when you're doing it on your own, like I was just in my bedroom by myself.
Yeah.
Mom hoovering downstairs. I was like, come here, I can't work in these conditions.
Yes, yeah. But I think that's lovely as well, though, that you even tried to do it. I feel like you have to try things to know if it's for you or not, yeah. You know? A lot of people wouldn't even have the balls to actually even try it.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think maybe if you didn't have to edit it yourself, maybe, you might have found it a bit easier.
If I was doing it with someone.
With someone,
yeah.
Yeah. And would you ever go back to it or no?
I don't think I would go back to like, that specific one and doing that on my own. I think if I was to do it on my own, I would need like a kind of a format, or
yeah.
I would do it with somebody else to like yeah. kind of bounce off. But I'm definitely open to doing something like that. If you, I'm a yapper. I
yeah.
have a lot to say. I never run out of yap. Like,
so yeah, yeah, yeah.
I would definitely like do. I would in the
yeah,
future.
In the
not,
future.
Not how it was.
Yeah.
I would have to reinvent it.
Yeah.
Rebrand.
So you were, this is something that I can kind of relate to you on. And I think a lot of our listeners have a big interest when it comes to this. But you're very open about the fact that you were diagnosed with ADHD at a later age. I was diagnosed not with ADHD, but with autism. When was it, Lauren? Like, I want to say a year ago. Yeah, I think it was a year ago. So I love watching your content when you talk about that, because I think I totally get, like, you really start to understand. People say to me all the time, why did you bother getting diagnosed? Like, it hasn't affected you in your life. Number one, not true. But number two, I feel like I've come into myself so yeah. much. Like, I understand myself, whereas before I didn't. But did you always know that there was something kind of different?
I knew I was odd.
Yeah, same.
I knew I wasn't like all these other bitches.
Yeah.
not being a pick me. But no, when I was young, three or four, I was psychotic as
yeah.
a child.
Yeah.
My mom didn't know what to do with me. So she brought me in to get a psychologist.
Like yeah.
A psych eval or something.
Yeah.
Because I was not. I was not doing okay. Like,
yeah.
She was not doing okay.
Yeah.
And they basically said, like, I have all the indications for ADHD. But then my family just never went on to kind of pursue, like, a formal diagnosis.
Yeah.
Because especially when you think of the time, like, you never really heard of girls with ADHD.
Yeah.
It was always just hyper little boys that
yeah.
couldn't sit still in school. So there was a lot of like stigma and stuff there.
Yeah.
And then, but yeah, so I just don't, I personally don't remember any conversations about that really being had when I was kind of growing up. And
mm-hmm.
then my younger brother has more intense, we'll say, like intellectual disabilities than I do. And he required much more kind of help
yeah.
and accommodations and,
yeah.
and things like that, and his were definitely more like visibly obvious and
yes.
present than like mine. So yeah, that kind of took over, and I was good in school. Like I was able to like get good enough grades. I didn't really get in trouble. Like
yeah.
you know, I was just like a little.
So you flew under the radar.
Like no one thinks she has ADHD.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. Yeah.
But yeah, but I was very dramatic. And what I would do is like, I would be so good in school and then I would come home and have a complete meltdown.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You probably get that a lot.
Well, primary school, I was actually, I find this so interesting because I was kind of the same. Like I didn't fit the like mold of what mm-hmm. you would have thought of. Primary school, I was exactly like that. So good in school, then coming home, having complete and utter meltdowns. Mm-hmm. Then secondary school, it changed and it switched and I was really bold. Could not deal. Yeah. So that kind of didn't fit the mold either. That would have probably fitted more the mold for ADHD. And it's funny you say it about when you were younger, because exact same with me. I was brought and they were like, yeah, we think, you know, she could have a lot of indications of, at the time they said ADHD. Mm-hmm. But now going into adulthood, they said it was autism, that girls with autism, you know, they can mask. Same with ADHD. It can be undetectable, especially as an adult, I think. Well, not for us. It's not undetectable, but for other people looking at it. But it's so funny that our stories are so similar. And it's my little cousin is neurodivergent. And same as your brother, my little cousin would be more obvious than I would be, say. So that's what made me then be like, okay, maybe this is something, because clearly it's in the family, you know, and these things do run in families as well. They can be genetic.
My whole family, I'm just like, you have a touch of autism.
Yes, yes.
You have ADHD. You're autistic.
Yeah.
Like, there's so much. But like, it's generations, isn't it? Because like older generations, they don't care to get a diagnosis. It's not at their age, it's not going to make a difference to them. They've learned how to cope with it.
Yeah.
They've learned how to get on in life, and they're coping the way they know how.
Yeah.
It's so personal whether you want to pursue a diagnosis, pursue medication. Like, it's so personal.
Yeah.
And I think it just depends on the phase you're in life as well. Like,
exactly.
When you're actually ready to kind of address that and work on yourself, because it's a life changing diagnosis.
Oh, absolutely. 100%. And it also, I feel like you get, like, I don't know if you found this, but when I came out and said it, like, if you're a woman particularly and you're an adult and you're not what the stereotypical view is of this thing,
you're hot.
Yeah, 100%.
I don't believe it.
There's pretty privilege. I said this on the episode with the psychologist, but there's so much pretty. If you can get up, do your makeup, do your hair, and wear nice clothes, they're like, no, you can't be neurodivergent.
But it's masking. So many women with autism and ADHD mask by being gorgeous.
Yeah, that's like, it. That's it.
Because that's how you learn that. And like, this is that it's so much deeper, because it also, that does tie into misogyny.
Yeah.
When you think about it on a deeper level, because that's how women can like get through life, is because they've always been told like their worth depends on that.
Yeah.
So when you're being told you're not good enough, you need to try harder, you're bold, you're this, you're that, obviously you're going to kind of make up for it the only way you know how.
And for
girls, that's your physical appearance. That's your, that's being pretty, being seen, being whatever. Like,
you know? And that's like, when I was a teenager, guys, I think I've spoke about it a little bit, but I always thought I was crazy. I don't know if you felt like this, but that's why I went for diagnosis, because I was like, I am crazy. There, like, I convinced myself that there was all these things wrong with me. I was going to my auntie. I went for a bipolar assessment. Like, I was convinced that I was nuts. So that's what pushed me for diagnosis, because I was like, I just need something. I need the clarity that I'm not, I know crazy is not the right word to use, but that's what I thought I was. But when I was younger, I really over sexualized myself, especially as a teenager. I put all of my worth into my body, even me doing OnlyFans. Like, now I'm like, I probably would never do OnlyFans now, but I put so much worth into how I looked. So it's, so that is 100% true. And there definitely is that element of like pretty privilege and girls mask and trying to, like, if you look pretty, who's going to suspect that there's anything else going on? You know, it's so.
People are nicer to you when you're pretty.
Yeah, true. Fact.
If you're late, if you miss deadlines, if like all the things. Like, do you know? But it, so.
People treat you with more kindness. That's 100. And that goes.
And that's sad.
Yeah.
But it's true.
And that goes for everything. That doesn't just go for like neurodivergency. I feel like in general in life, people like, that are conventionally attractive, or at least try and make themselves conventionally attractive, are treated better. It is sad.
And that's not like a, that's not us being like, oh, we're pretty. Okay. That is a critique on society.
Yes.
It shouldn't be that way.
Yes.
But we just know that to be true.
Yeah. And how do you feel since you've got your diagnosis? Do you feel like it's brought you like peace, or, well, peace is probably not the right word.
I don't think I've ever felt peace in my whole life.
Yeah,
my brain is absolutely going 190 miles an hour all the time, constantly, never at rest. But it's definitely brought me like I don't feel weird anymore.
Yeah.
Like, I feel weird. I feel weird in a way that I'm like, I know what kind of weird I am.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm like, yeah, I am weird, but like, I know the weird that I am. So like, it's actually fine.
Yeah.
Like, I am weird, but I'm not weird.
Yeah.
But I am.
Yeah.
But I'm not. But
yeah. And it's not like, it's not my fault I'm weird.
Yeah.
Like,
exactly. Yeah. And I think, but it was such a process, because I don't know if you felt this way, but when I first got diagnosed, because I got a private diagnosis because my GP told me there was no way
there's no system
that I was ever going to get like on, like, publicly diagnosed on, because the lines are so long. Like, and I had to save up, like, obviously, to get a diagnosis.
Mm-hmm.
And even like the 2 years, or right when I just got diagnosed, I was so angry. Mm-hmm. I was so angry. And I felt like my whole life had been a lie and that I was like grieving who I was. And I was like, I don't even know her. Like, she didn't even, I just felt so bad for younger me and, you know, everything that I was like, I could have accomplished so much more because I know I have all these talents. I know I have skills. But I was, it's like,
you didn't, you
know,
have
if
the
I
support.
Had a physical disability and I didn't have, you know, like accommodations to help me go about my life, how are you meant to like like accomplish those things? And that's kind of what it felt like. I was kind of like how was I meant to like even get as far as I've gotten without these things, without any accommodations? So I felt very proud of myself, but I just felt very
angry.
Very angry.
Yeah, I had that. I think we've spoken about this a lot before, but I had a lot of anger. I was actually angry at everyone. Mm-hmm. I was like, how did, because for me looking back now, like my dad seen my DSM-5 and he was like, oh my God, like all of these things separately seem like no big deal. But when you put them all together, like this must have been really difficult for you. And I felt such intense anger, especially about school, because I was so smart, like so smart, but couldn't apply myself and was labelled as like a problem child, a bad child. And all I kept thinking when I got diagnosed was I could have been a doctor. Like I could have been, I could have achieved so much if I had the right support. But I'm happy to see, well, I know there's still a long way to go, but I think it's great that, you know, so many people criticise, especially adult women, for speaking about being neurodivergent online, calling us attention seekers and everything else.
Yeah.
But it's so good. It's so good that there's these people that these young girls are following and can be like, oh my God, maybe it might lead to more young girls not experiencing what we did with having to be diagnosed so late and having all of those kind of angry feelings then once we were diagnosed. But yeah, that I think a lot of people go through that anger. It's like it's like seven stages of grief.
It is genuinely. Yeah. Absolutely.
Right. So Molly, the juicy stuff.
Oh, we're getting juicy.
Getting juicy.
Woo!
That's so,
I feel like we should have had a drink for this.
Yeah, we should have.
Should have had a little espresso martini.
I can't drink them. I literally can't. The heart palpitations they get. I love porn star martini.
Same.
Yeah.
Same. Porn star.
Right. So what everyone wants to know, you were on first dates recently. I'm loving the updates and the videos, Betty. You need to keep going.
Okay.
Like they're amazing. So you were telling me before, but you didn't actually apply, did you? It was like.
So my friend Shireen, you might know her on Shireen and Jamie on Spin 103.8.
Yeah.
They have a radio show and she called me and she was like, would you ever go on first dates? And I was like, yeah, for sure. Why not? Like, I'm single. And she's like, oh, I have the producer on the line.
And that was
so
it.
That was kind of it. They were doing like a bit on the radio. They were trying to get like people recruited. So they did like a live recruitment.
Right. Oh, amazing. Is
that how you say it?
Yeah.
Live recruitment segment on the radio show. And I was the live recruitee. I was I'll do it. And then the producer was asking me like what I want. And I had to say it live on radio. And I was like, I want someone who drives and who has hair. And
that's it. That's so my requirement.
I think we need to raise these standards. Yeah. But
that's so if is that still like, can you listen to that now?
Oh, I'd say so. Like, I'd say it's probably on the player. I don't even know why.
Oh my God, I'm going to find that.
That was kind of like middle of summer, maybe.
Yeah, that's I think I would shit myself. I admire you so much for being able to do that because my anxiety, you have to tell us all about it. We'll get into it.
Okay.
So what was the process like?
So from that then, I was having a phone conversation with the producer and honestly, they really do their research. Like they call you and they ask you so many different questions. Like they ask you like, are you, one of the questions she asked me was like, would you be comfortable going on a date with someone who is like autistic or something like that? And I was like, well, I'm halfway there, so I can't really say no. Absolutely. All my friends are. Yeah. Why not? Like, I don't have any reason not to, like, you know.
Yeah.
So just kind of questions like that, like what you'd be comfortable with. And then also like what you're looking for. So I sat down with my friends and we made a whole list. I'll show it to you after. I still have it in my notes. Of like non-negotiables, qualities I'm looking for, looks. And then I made a mood board of all my celebrity crushes.
Oh, I love that. I love that. That is so you.
Yeah, I don't know if she looked at it though.
Yeah.
But I know she did.
That is so you though. The mood board of, I feel like if I don't even know what I would, well, I have a boyfriend, but I don't even know what I would
you
say.
You have a boyfriend.
I know. You'd never know. I think I'd just be like tall, dark and handsome. That's all
but
I want.
I was like, obviously. Yeah. But like, I was like, I need to give some more.
Yeah.
I was like, this is my chance find professional matchmakers.
Yeah.
But I was like, what if I find my husband?
Yeah.
It's time. Like, I was like, I'm in my dating era. Like, I was like, this is my chance. Like,
yeah.
I need professional help. Here it is. Let's go for it. I'm going to give them everything and see what happens.
Yeah. And I think that's why you were perfect for it as well, because you do talk a little bit on social media about, like, you get ready for dates and stuff. I see them sometimes. So you were literally the perfect person to go on it. But how did the date go? Like, what is your thoughts now on the date?
The date, he's a lovely person.
And, yeah.
Like, he was really sweet to me on the date.
Yeah.
So, like, it was like a nice time.
Yeah.
It was just very long. Like,
yeah.
It went on for like an hour and a half, and you don't get to choose when it ends. They bring over the bill. Like, they have to kind of keep going until they have enough footage,
yeah.
I guess.
Yeah.
And so much of it isn't aired. So, like, the conversation was getting so deep and, like, so... And, like, normally on a first date, I like to keep everything kind of, like, light and banter and flirting. And there wasn't really any banter or flirting or anything like that.
Yeah.
So it was kind of like, oh, we're straight in here, like, talking about all these, like...
Really deep things.
Really deep things.
Yeah.
Like, but, like, I'm also, like, I'll chat to anyone about anything.
Yeah.
So if we're going to do that, we're going to do that. I'll still have a good conversation. Like, the food was fab. The food
was it?
So good.
And you had to, like... I seen your video and you said, like, you had to, like, film your walk-in. So, like...
Yeah.
Is that, this is the thing where I'm like, I feel like I could not, because I would, you are so confident and I have so much admiration for you. And I know, like, we're girls, right? So a lot of our confidence, we're like, okay, just wear the confidence and it will be it. But that's where I'm like, I feel like it holds, not that I'd be going on first dates, okay, Alex, if you're listening, but this would hold me back so much. I'd be like, even the walk-in when you were explaining it, I was like, I feel like I could never do that. Because how many times did you just walk in once?
Niamh, I'm sorry, the Lewis was full as well.
No.
The Lewis was full. I had to do it a few times.
Oh, God.
There was like men in high-vis behind me going,
yeah,
hey.
Yeah, like, yeah. Yeah, yeah.
But like, it's a long day. I was there for 6 hours. So like, when you first get there, they stagger your arrival with the your date's arrival, so that there's no chance of you overlapping. If one of you is early and one of you is late, you're brought directly to a holding room. Like, the boys and the girls are never mingling.
Right.
You are mingling with other daters, but not that you're going
not
to date
your
with,
dater
normally
yeah.
of the same sex
yeah.
or whatever. And there is also background daters in your holding room and stuff like that. And
right.
they bring you into the bathroom, they mic you up, and they're like, we're going to bring you down now for your walk-in.
Right.
And they're just like, okay, here's your point, here's your end point, go for it. And then you might have to do it again maybe 2-3 times, because maybe they want a close-up. Like, they did a close-up of my shoes. All these different things.
Oh, your outfit was fab.
Thanks, girl. That was a last minute one, because the one I was going to wear, I'm glad I didn't wear it in the end. It was like a really poofy House of CB one.
Right.
I don't know why I thought I was going to wear that.
Oh my God, is it the...
The black, like, poofy one.
Is it the one I wore to the Vavas?
Maybe.
I wore it in pink.
Oh, maybe.
And it has like tulle underneath it.
Oh, no. It's more... It's not like... I'll show you a picture of
yeah,
it after,
show
but
me.
No, I had to wear that in the end, because I literally arrived in from Marbella the day before. I was on holidays and I burnt my legs because I'm so pale. Anytime the sun sees me, I burn.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So I had to have something longer because
my legs
were scalded.
Well, that was a good thing. That was a good thing, because it was gorgeous.
Thank you.
With it being so long, how did you find that? Because see with me, right? I go for Carvery with Alex. As soon as I am done eating my dinner, I have to go. I'm getting like overwhelmed. I'm like, get me out of here. I'm getting irritable.
Yeah.
Did you find that
Absolutely.
With the date? Yeah.
It was really hard. It was really hard on like the neurodivergence
yeah.
of it all, because it's so like being on camera and chatting and getting asked all these questions, and then like during the day, and you know you're being filmed, you're on, you're trying to be the best version of yourself or have a good date or whatever it is. It's so much emotional labor. I was wrecked. And like in the holding room, I was chatting away to everyone as well.
Yeah.
So that was about 2 hours before I actually got on the date, and I was filming bits, I was chatting, I was drinking, and then by the time I got on the date, I was already wrecked.
Burnt out.
I was like, I think that's my social battery done. And
done.
Then I did the whole date, and then after the date, you have to do the post-date post-mortem, where you do like the interview to like individually and together, and then they bring you to like a social media room where you have to do all these little bits for their reels and stuff.
Oh my God.
And then you have to film the walkouts.
Okay.
And
so it's not even
time
over.
You're chatting to people, and you never know when it's gonna end.
Yeah.
Like, you just keep going and going and going.
Yeah.
And like, you have to be on, like, so I was really tired. And after as well, they ask you like, oh, are you gonna, because we both said yes for another date. that didn't happen. And you ask
no tea, no shade.
I may ask you, like, oh, are you going to go for drinks after? And I said no, because I was wrecked. It was like 6 o'clock at that stage or something, and I'd been there since like 12, and I was like, I just want to go home. I want to go home, get into my bed. Like, because I flew in like the day before, I was wrecked.
Yeah.
And I was just like, no, thank you.
No, that would be me.
I want my lava.
Yeah. That 6 hours is like a long, especially when there's that much before the day. I would be the exact same. I would be burnt out.
When you're nervous and you're, you know, such a big deal for you, like, I just felt wiped. Very wide.
Yeah. I would feel the exact same. It's so interesting that they make you speak so much before the day. I'm like, do all of that after, because you're going to, you want all the conversation on the date.
Yeah.
So that Kermit the Frog moment. I've seen your video of you saying that you're literally, did you say you've seen it in your dreams?
Yeah.
That moment.
Paralysis demons came with the frog.
Yeah. I feel like he must have been nervous. That was like such a nervous thing to like.
Definitely nervous. Bless him.
That's something that I would do. That's why I'm like, I could never, because.
But do you know what it is? He's a voice actor.
Oh my God,
so he wanted to get all his impressions and all the stuff out there to try and get work.
That is clever. That is,
why he did it. Like,
yeah, we have to appreciate the marketing.
Yeah, because he was like, oh, I can do, like, he was saying like, they didn't really air this, but like he works in like I'm just airing out his whatever. But like he works in like a golf place, and then he does like acting and voice acting.
Right.
And he was like, yeah, I can do impressions. If someone says they're doing impressions, are you not asking them to do an impression?
Yeah, of course
you're like,
you
give
are.
Me one right now.
Yeah.
What do you got?
Of course.
But I just didn't think it would be Kermit. Like.
No, Kermit the Frog. No. Especially not on a first date. It's like, there's so many impressions you could do. I don't see, that is something that I would do. That's why I'm like, I feel like I couldn't, because I would go on and like just do something and watch it for the rest of my life. But he was great at the Kermit Frog impression.
Yeah.
It was brilliant.
Kermit was in the room.
And right, oh, I actually seen, do you know, I seen a comment on your TikTok and I found it so interesting.
Oh.
Someone said, were you offended that he
paid for
that he paid?
Absolutely not.
What? I was
as
reading
it.
Yeah. It's so funny because we only done an episode last week and Lauren was asking me like, Niamh, what do you think about first dates? And I was like, men pay. I don't care. Like, I'm a feminist, but men pay for the first dates.
Yeah.
So I seen that comment and I was like, I wonder where that logic is. I suppose it's kind of coming from, maybe some girls would be offended.
Do you know what it was? I went through, like, when I first became feminist.
Yeah. When I first
when I
became
first
feminist.
Realized we were living under patriarchy and I became feminist.
Yeah.
I wouldn't let a man like pay for anything for me at all. I was like, no, I can do it myself or whatever. And then I was like, but
no. I feel
why
like,
would I do everything when they can do it for you?
Like, and I feel like that is feminist. Like, I don't care what anyone says. I feel like that is feminist.
But
and
also, I think you just get to a stage where like you get so hyper independent that you don't let anybody do anything for you. And some people, like, that's like giving gifts and like things like that, acts of service, is people's way of showing you love. And like, you, like, it's the same way when you're fighting with a friend over who pays for whatever.
Yeah.
Like, you just get to a point where you're like, it's not actually that deep.
No.
Like, it's literally just being nice or whatever. And I think it's a nice thing for a fella to do on a first day. But I think like everyone is individual and you have to do with, you have to do what you feel comfortable with. And if he asked me to split it, I would definitely, I was going to offer.
Yeah.
But he paid it when I came back.
And
it was paid for. It was
do
good.
You pay for them yourself?
So.
Right. This is the tea. I'm like, do you actually pay?
So basically, literally, right, before you do the walk into the restaurant, they hand you €30 cash.
Okay.
So everyone gets handed 30, well, that's what I got handed, €30 cash.
Right.
I literally just slipped it in my little bag. Even my phone didn't even fit my bag. Like,
yeah.
So small. I just slipped it in my bag. All I had was lip gloss. That's all you need.
Yeah.
And walked in. So I didn't see the bill. I don't know how much the meal was.
Okay.
I should have ordered more drinks because I was not sure.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's all you get.
£30
towards it, but I'm sure that it's probably at least 50. Like, it's a nice restaurant.
Yeah.
So I don't know, and especially if you're getting more drinks, like, I don't know, but
See, you do. That's so. I always wonder that when I'm watching first dates. I'm like, do they actually pay?
That's all you get given, €30 each.
Do you know who like always comes to my mind? Did you see? Do you remember Hanson and Kieran?
I love.
I watch that clip regularly. Like, I actually watch that clip regularly.
The charity shop.
And he's so disgusted. Like
but I'm just, but see, the thing is, like, I wasn't really feeling a romantic connection in my day, but I was still going to chat to him and have a conversation with him and not make him feel weird.
Weird. Like, oh my God.
I thought, like, you need to, like, they're still a person at the end of the day. You need to respect them. Even if you don't find them attractive, like, you still need to respect them as a person.
Yeah. Yeah. You know? And I think Hanson's from, I doubt he listens to the podcast, but I think he's from Drogheda, my area. Because he was saying the best charity shops in Drogheda.
Yeah.
But I go back, like, I feel like the Kermit the Frog is going to be one of those moments that people, like, go back and watch regularly. Iconic. Iconic.
Oh, God.
So have you heard from him since?
No.
No.
Now, we were on radio together, but we never talked to each other.
Oh, what the fuck?
So we were on the Laura Fox show the morning after the episode aired, but she was asking, like, me a question, then him a question, then me a question.
Mm-hmm.
So I know he's alive and present.
But he didn't.
But we've never spoken.
That is so bizarre.
But I'm okay with it. I'm not mad. But I don't think I would go on another date with him.
It's so weird, though, because he was definitely giving vibes that
This is the thing, okay? I was shook when he was saying I was rather spectacular and, you know, breathtakingly, whatever.
Yeah.
Thank you. Like, love you. Yeah. Thank you. But, like, you never flirted with me. There was none of that. Like, I don't think he, like, complimented me or said I looked nice or anything like that. Like,
yeah.
Maybe he did. Not that I can remember. But, so I was kind of, like, shook. Like, I didn't know what I didn't think there was any romantic vibe at all.
It was like platonic vibe.
Yeah,
like,
that's what I was thinking.
Yeah. I wonder, was it with him because you said no to going to the drinks? I wonder, did he just think, oh no, I don't want to message her now or something?
Oh, maybe.
It's so weird because it's like, I feel like, I don't know. I'm trying to, like, understand how you can be so crazy about someone but then not message them.
And men. You know what? If he, men. if he did, like, message me, see, now looking back at the date, I'm like, no, I probably shouldn't have.
Yeah.
Yes, but I think if he, like, messaged me, like, say the day after or whatever, I would have gone on a second date because I think it's only fair.
Yeah.
Like, to get to know someone properly without the cameras or that before you decide, like, you kind of have to give them the benefit of the doubt.
For
sure. So I was thinking that anyway. And I don't think I would have said no unless the date went, like, absolutely
brutal, horrific. Yeah.
Which that's kind of what I was expecting it to go really bad.
Yeah.
I actually wasn't expecting it I wasn't expecting them to be nice.
Yeah.
I was expecting it to be some, like, yupro or something.
Yeah. And you see a lot of that.
Start, like, saying something mad about, like, females and I was going to have to put them in their place. Like, that's what I was expecting.
Yes.
That's what I was ready for.
Yeah. 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 Especially because you're so, the producers could have done that. Like, they could have done that because you're so openly, because you do see that. There's one episode, I won't say the name, but there was one episode. I feel like sometimes they mismatch people on purpose because it just makes good TV.
I led with like I was going to, like, when, you know, when you're like, what's your type? I would have been like, tall, dark, handsome, mustache, Patrick tattoos.
Yeah.
Like, you know, someone with a bit of, like, someone who, fashion.
Yeah.
Like,
because you're so into fashion.
A little Carhartt boy.
Yeah.
A little Carhartt boy.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
So cute. But my friends were like, no, don't say that because they're going to be a dickhead. Like, you're going to get put up with someone who's hot but is a dickhead.
Yeah.
And you want someone that's nice, like.
Yeah.
So I was like, okay. So I said, like, someone emotionally available or someone, I said emotionally intelligent.
Yes, yes, yes. Curve. Okay. Should have said the Carhartt boy. No, but it is true. That probably is true. They probably would have put you in a dickhead if you had said
probably,
the first one.
Probably.
Or, who knows, maybe you need to go on again.
I would have flirted, though. I still would have flirted.
Yeah, maybe you need to go on again.
Maybe.
Nudge, nudge, first date.
Well, I am in my dating era, though.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The old woman that was on the episode.
I love her. Yeah. They have a lot of repeat daters on, actually, because the pool is so small. Everyone's emigrated. They just have to get the people that were on it before to come on
before
again.
To come on, yeah.
So everyone's left.
Yeah, yeah. So the mini golf date didn't happen, guys. We can.
No.
Yeah, no mini.
I might be going on a mini golf date tonight.
No. Oh, really? Oh. No, I love this. I feel like first dates need to, like, contact you back and be like, okay, we need to put you with the Carhartt boy or in your date, Nira. I feel like people would follow it because I loved seeing you on first dates, but I love your updates afterwards. I feel like people, do you know what it is? When people see stuff on TV, you want to know more, don't you? You're like, you want to know the intricate details.
But people, I'm really, like, appreciative of, like, how kind of well that it was received. And I think, like, I don't know, everyone was just saying, you're so nice, you're so
you
wholesome,
are.
You're so innocent. And I'm like, I am nice and wholesome and innocent, but I'm also really, like, I'm fun and I'm a bit sassy. And I don't know if that really, like, came across.
But you're nervous on TV, you know? And I suppose you're, for me, I'd be like, okay, I'm scared to be sassy in case they edit it, like, I'm a bitch.
But they put out so much of my sassy bits. I did have that, like, I was in, like, I went into the bathroom and I was in there for ages chatting, like, on FaceTime with Shireen.
Yeah.
And she was like, oh, how's it going? And I was like, he's nice. And she's like, you don't like him at all, do you?
And they put it out. So did they record in the bathroom?
Everything, yeah. They record everything. I was like, I'm going to pee right now. Don't listen. and there's no music at all.
None.
So, you know, like normally there's music like in a restaurant or whatever. It was so eerie.
Yeah.
It was so creepy. You just hear like the little fork thumping and stuff. That's all you can hear.
And can you hear other people's dates?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But the tables are actually really far apart from other daters, but they're all strategically positioned for the cameras.
Yeah.
The cameras just like look like really big black domes.
Yes.
So you know it's a camera, but you can't see a lens.
Yeah.
So you don't really know what way it's facing or whatever. And it's weird because it's like, it's not a full restaurant. There is other people in it. It's dead quiet.
Yeah.
And it's just the weirdest, eeriest vibe.
Yeah.
It's an experience. Yeah.
I feel like they, I understand why there's no music, but it's also like, oh my God, if I feel like there's no music, there's nothing else going on, I'm like, can everyone hear me? Like,
but people are listening to
you.
And then you go out to the bathroom and it's all the crew, all the producers with all their headphones on and everything. And
do you know what? That's like a very high pressure situation.
It is.
Yeah.
And when I went to the bathroom, they like stopped me going back in and they were like, are you okay? Like, I feel like you're holding back or whatever. And I think they were saying that because like I wasn't flirting or anything, but I was like, I'm on the date as it is. Like, I'm just being myself. Like, I don't, like, I wasn't really sure what, like, if they wanted me to be, but I was just like, I am reacting to how life is treating me right now.
And you didn't have to, they, look, it was so well received and it went like so big on social media. Mm-hmm. So you didn't have to be sitting there, Fleur. You were just yourself. And that's enough. right. We have this little segment that we do. So you might need a minute to think about this.
Okay.
But because obviously we're called Unscripted, we have this little segment where basically we ask our guests, what is their most unscripted moment? So basically it's a moment where you didn't plan for something to happen or you totally winged something and went off script. And how did it turn out? If you need a minute, it's okay.
So I read this in the notes and I was thinking about this over the weekend.
Okay.
And I was like, to be honest, my whole life is a bit unscripted. Like, I never, my thoughts just all come out of ADHD.
Yeah.
Like, brain rot. Like, everything is unscripted, to be honest. And if I tried to script it, I wouldn't remember it. So, whatever. But I was thinking that probably the most, like, random thing is that I worked as an entertainer in France before.
Okay.
For a summer. So, I was doing, like, the kids' clubs during the day. And then in the evenings, I was either dressed up in like a mouse mascot dancing, or I was like having to like sing and dance and stuff on stage.
Yeah.
Now when I got this job, I told them I can't sing.
Yeah.
Like, I can't even sing happy birthday. Like,
right.
I'm so, so tone deaf.
Yeah.
Like, I just mime when people sing happy birthday because nobody needs to hear that on their birthday. It would be cruel.
Yeah.
So I just mime it. But but they made me sing.
No.
They were doing like this, like, there was only like four of us in the entertainment team.
Yeah.
So like we all had to get on stage and sing a song like for the crowd and like dance and all of this thing. Do you know what I did?
What did you do?
The cup song.
No way.
From Pitch Perfect.
No way.
Yeah.
And how did it turn out? Did they love it?
Honestly, really good.
Yeah.
they ate it up.
I can't sing either. So actually I used to be able, this is so weird, right? This is off topic, but I used to be able to sing, right? I sang at my auntie's wedding. Right. When I was like 14. Now I cannot sing. I'm like a bag of cats. But I think it's because I smoke.
You don't have the lung capacity.
Yeah. Or maybe my voice broke. But I have such bad stage fright. I don't know if
your
you're like
girl's voice is break.
I don't know. Well, I feel like mine, actually, there's a video of me, I don't know if you've seen it, and I'm like a teenager and I'm like ranting on Facebook about what people said about me on Ask FM.
Ask FM.
Have never changed a single bit. I was like, yous are all idiots. Like, but my voice sounds deeper than it is now. So I think my voice opposite broke.
But I think, and you hear this with like Ariana Grande, she speaks sometimes in like a different way to protect her voice. So I think you have like, not that I know shit about this.
Yeah.
But from what I've heard, you have like different levels to your voice.
Yeah.
If you actually wanted to like sing or whatever, you could go and do a few like voice lessons and they will find like where in your, they will be able to like dissect your voice and tell you like where to sing from and get it back.
And
like,
get my singing voice back.
Imagine get your singing voice back.
Me
girl.
Releasing a song. No, Alex has been.
Do it with Alex.
Alex
bring
has
out
been,
a song.
He's
do
been,
it.
Oh, Molly, he has been at me nonstop. He's really? Like, you need to release a song. And he's like, I has this idea in his head of me being like, I'm in my bed, bitch era.
You yes
over like you know like a house tune or something. I'm like Alex no, and he's like Niamh you need to. I'm like I can't.
He's just gonna take all your voicemails and add them out to his little all your voice notes.
This is what I mean about things holding me back, and that's why I admire you so much, because I know you're neurodivergent and I know that would have been hard for you to go on first dates. I feel like it holds me back so much to the point where Alex is like, I will write you a song, you can come to the studio and produce, just come and do it. And I'm like, no
girl, you did OnlyFans.
I know.
How is writing a song, how is that holding you back?
I know. But you know what? I feel like I wasn't me. I was in some sort of, like, I don't want to say maniac because that's obviously,
I get you.
You know, but I was having, and it lasted for like 2 years. Yeah. So I don't know what it was, but I wasn't me. And like now looking back, I'm like, I could never do, I'd never do. Not that there's anything, you know, I don't think there's anything wrong with OnlyFans, but I just couldn't do it now. I feel like as I've got older, I've actually lost a lot of the outgoingness.
Yeah.
And that's probably a lot to do with social media.
I feel like that as well. But I've only gained some of that back recently when I started doing heels dancing.
Oh, I see you do that. You hottie. I seen you. I was on Valentine's Day.
Yeah.
Oh my God. You were so hot.
The red stocking. Yes. My ice was full.
Loved it. Loved it.
I haven't talked to mom about that yet. I don't know what to say. Oh, well.
I actually, Alex got me. And this is why I kick myself, right? I'm going to take some of Molly's energy after this podcast. Alex bought me for our first Christmas together. He got
this could
me
be anything.
Yeah, he got me strip, like not strip, pole dancing lessons.
Oh, I thought you were going to say a whole ass pole.
No.
I think it, Alex.
Yeah, get me one.
Just speak it into his phone.
Yeah. Pole. He got me pole dancing lessons because I'd been talking about wanting to do it for the reason of like building my confidence and stuff. I never went, and now the voucher is gone.
Oh, first of all, I think that is against like consumer rights.
Six months.
Vouchers need to last like 5 years or something.
Yeah,
no?
6 months is all it lasted.
Sorry.
Yeah, maybe I'll ring them and be like, hey,
yeah. Yeah, name drop.
Yeah,
like, name drop. Hi, it's Nevo.
Oh, God, right. Lauren, have we got a dilemma?
So I had asked for some dilemmas from the listeners of their first dates in theme of Molly being on first dates.
Yes.
And I didn't get any negative ones really, but this one I thought was really nice just to tell you guys and get your feedback on.
Okay.
So this listener said, so I met this guy through a mutual friend. We got on really well and started texting. I was 18 at the time and my parents went away for the weekend. So we decided to have a first date in my house. And I said I'd cook us a meal and we'd watch a movie. So the night came and I was so nervous, I made us some Mexican food, but I didn't realise that the mince was out of date by 2 days and I gave us both food poisoning. Oh. He was staying overnight and everything was lovely and great up until about 3 a.m. and both of us were running in and out of the toilet, coming out both ends with only one bathroom in the house, an absolutely vile first date. I was so embarrassed I could have died, but all in all, it didn't scare him away because we're now married with a kid and he still eats my food, but it's a lot better after all them years. We still talk about it to this day. It was even brought up in our wedding speech. It's something I will never live down.
Oh my God.
That
they
is
fell
so
in
cute.
Love over diarrhea.
Yes, literally love over. Do you know what? I feel like if you get through something like that on your first date,
I feel like they were trauma bonded.
Yes, for sure. Trauma bonded by poo.
Hit the walls, literally. Yeah.
No, I love that. Do you know what? Did I tell the story of Alex on the podcast, Lauren?
Your first date with Alex.
Oh my God, no.
I want to know.
I have such an interesting story and it kind of relates to this, and Alex has given me permission to tell this story. It's not our first date.
For this one.
Right. It's when we were seeing each other, but it was like so new, right?
Okay.
And we went out on a night out. He was with his friends. I was with mine. I ended up having an after party, as I always fucking do in my apartment. And basically he came back, but he started like acting really weird. And he was like, I need to go lie down in the bed, right? So I was like, grand. He went and lay down in the bed. I stayed up with some of my friends and some of his friends. Next thing you know, it's a couple of hours later. We can hear him like profusely vomiting in the toilet, right? So this is where it gets bad. So he comes in to say goodbye, but he's like really not like touching me or coming anywhere near me. And I'm like, oh my God, is he mad at me? Like, is something wrong? So he goes home in a taxi. No, I don't think anything else of it. And I get a message the next day and he's like, Neve, I have something to tell you. And I was like, what? And he was like, I shit myself in your house. Alex has given me full permission to tell this, by the way, but basically, obviously, he had an icky tummy and he was vomiting and like it started coming out the other end and it was all over his pants, all over the tiles. He had to jump in the shower really quickly. We didn't hear. He had to clean the tiles, but he threw his boxers out my bedroom window of my apartment, like directly.
Are you on first floor?
No, the sixth floor. So it probably hit all the other windows on the way down.
Imagine you're in your bedroom. You're in your bedroom watching like Shrek or yeah. movie, and the next thing you just see shitty boxers flying past your window.
And they were directly, like he said, they dropped directly below, like six floors down on the ground. I looked the next day.
Why did you just put them in the bin?
I have not. He was scarlet. And see, my apartment building, the bins are like locked away. So he was obviously just like, get rid of these boxers really quickly. Fuck them out the window. And the next day when he told me, the boxers were nowhere to be seen. So someone had picked up the boxers.
Probably a dog or something.
Yeah. Oh, it was disgusting. Well, no, I thought it was hilarious, but I feel like that kind of relates to that, where that was so early on in our like relationship, or we weren't even together. Like, I should have, not that I should have ran, but like, I feel like if you can tolerate something like that, you know it's love, right?
So is this where I'm going wrong?
No. Let them shit themselves.
I'm looking for somebody with IBS.
Yeah, that's what you need to look for.
I'll put it on my quality list.
If you make it through the icky tummy stage, I feel like it's love. It's meant to be. But yeah, I was going to save that story, but I felt like it just related too much.
Yeah, okay. I'm so glad I heard like that.
Brutal. And do you know what, it's so funny because to this day we laugh about that. It's something that like we laugh about to this day, but I remember just being so glad the next day, like, okay, he doesn't hate me, he still likes me, but he didn't want to hug me because he was like, Neve, you could smell it off. Oh my God. So this is Alex's street cred gets done in this podcast. Like, done altogether. Right, guys, that brings us to the end of episode 6. Molly, thank you so much for coming in. Do you want to just repeat, guys, if anybody wants to follow Molly on socials, do you want to give them?
Yeah, it's just at Mollerina underscore M-O-L-L-E-R-I-N-A underscore.
Yeah, I really recommend following her editing skills, chef's kiss. But thank you so much for coming in and taking the time to come in and share the first dates experience. I think a lot of people are going to be nosy and want to know what happened behind the scenes. So thank you.
Thank you so much for having me.
Guys, as usual, you can follow us on Instagram at UnscriptedGoLoud. Our TikTok is the same. Guys, please follow us on TikTok and on Instagram. We're nearly on 10K on TikTok and we have nearly been on 10K on TikTok for about a month. It's through my head in. Go and follow us. Get us to 10K. Yeah, just follow us. I know there's so many of you that listen and don't follow us. I'm looking at all of you listening that don't follow us. And as usual, if you want to send in a dilemma, you can send them over to us on our Instagram at UnscriptedGoLoud, or you can send them to our email at unscripted@goloudnow.com. And our new segment, guys, is our trauma dump. So if you have any trauma dumps that you would like to share, you can send them to us on our Instagram. Again, it's at UnscriptedGoLoud. I have just said at UnscriptedGoLoud about a million times in the past 2 seconds. So you better work and you better go and follow us. As usual, guys, love you loads. See you next week. Bye.
Unscripted with Neve O'Connor, a Go Loud original podcast.